Just read that this morning. God is able. God is able. Psalm 92 here this evening. Psalm 92. We're going to do a fruit inspection here tonight. It's a theme that the Lord placed on my heart here, in part because of this passage, but some other references that I studied out here the last few days in particular. Psalm 92, verse 12, is a very interesting verse in relation to being fruitful as believers in Christ. Psalm 92, verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Notice the reason for this: to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Notice these word pictures in verse 12 again. It says, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. As I did a little reading on the palm tree here today, just out of curiosity as far as this statement. One author that I read called the palm trees the queen of trees. So I thought that was an interesting title there for the palm tree. But one of the things I also read is that, of course, palm trees are known for their beauty. I think of the part of the Big Island where we lived on. If there were palm trees there, it's because they were planted there on purpose. But we had some palm trees, and it was getting very dry when we lived there. And so literally it was dropping what they call those palm fronds. I mean, it was literally dropping them, and that's what we found out palm trees will do as they get dry. They'll just start shedding branches to kind of conserve so that all of them don't die and dry up. But anyway, as far as the beauty, a palm tree is a beautiful tree. It also is very known for their fruit and their many uses. In fact, there's many uses from what I saw as far as a palm tree is concerned. You know, we think of fruit, but there's many different things that are used for the oils and different things. But again, we see this flourishing like a palm tree. But then also the word picture at the end of verse 12 talks about a cedar in Lebanon. And you don't really need to take time to look at this, but a cross-reference I looked at is Ezekiel 31, where it talks about cedar trees, and the word picture is for Assyria, but they're very tall and stately trees and large branches and everything as far as birds making nests in the tree and everything as far as the picture there. So we see here two types of trees as a picture here of fruitfulness and prosperity, spiritually speaking. Notice it says, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Notice the key word there, planted. If we're not planted in the house of God, if it would not take much for us to be out of church, we're not planted. So you think about the picture there and the challenge there. Notice, are we planted in the house of the Lord? Growing up, for our family, it was never an option. As long as I can remember, I remember younger years, I was told that we would not always show up for church. My parents, were not always faithful as far as that, but the Lord started working in their hearts, and as long as I can remember, we were always in church. It was never an option. We never thought about it. None of those things. But notice it says, planted in the house of the Lord. Notice again the key word there, flourishing, shall flourish in the courts of our God. Spiritually, unless we're planted in the house of the Lord. Obviously, in New Testament, we're talking about the local church. But you notice again, as far as flourishing, if we're not planted, we're not going to flourish in the courts of our God. It says, they shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. That's a good American picture there, right? But notice it says here, they shall bring forth fruit in old age. When I read through Psalm 92, that's one of the things I pray, that Lord, I will still be producing fruit spiritually in my older years. How many times I've heard of preachers even, they drop out the last lap, as one preacher called it, dropping out of the last lap of the Christian life. So again, we talk here about, or see here this picture here of being flourishing as a tree. Notice with me John chapter 15 then. Very familiar passage here as far as Jesus talking about fruit. And there's three phrases in particular for us to take note of as believers. There's actually four different types of level of fruit mentioned in this passage. John chapter 15, as Jesus talks here about being fruitful. While you're turning there, Genesis 49 gives us the picture of Joseph. Joseph there is described as a fruitful bough, or bough, I should say, by a well. So we see it has nourishment, water. Also, it talks about in that passage as Jacob is giving a prophecy related to Joseph. He talks about the trials that he experienced. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But also in that context, it talks about Almighty God strengthening and helping him in order to be fruitful. So again, we see here God's working in our lives in order for us to be fruitful. John chapter 15, verse 1, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, so here's the first level of fruit, no fruit. Notice, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. So this is almost like a pruning process, as we see in this passage here. And every branch that beareth fruit, so we have no fruit, we have fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And I remember growing up, my grandparents would always cut away some branches from the apple trees on their property. They would cut away some branches that were not producing much fruit. They would cut away so that it would not pull nutrients from that tree, needlessly with no fruit being produced. So we see fruit, and then finally notice the end of verse 2, more fruit. So God is wanting to see increasing fruit in our lives. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Notice this sanctifying work that God does through his word. His word is very key in this. Notice again the condition here as far as us being fruitful. It says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Now let me ask you, if you cut a branch off of, whatever plant, you cut the branch off, is that branch going to produce any fruit? Is it even alive? You notice you cut that branch off, it is not going to produce any more fruit. Literally, we're talking about staying connected to the Lord Jesus Christ, abiding in him. We're staying in a given place, the place where we should be. This word abide means also to dwell and remain close to Jesus Christ. Again, this close relationship with the Lord. In fact, you notice here the condition for fruitfulness here, we'll talk about this in a moment, the condition in this passage for fruitfulness is obviously staying close in relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. How close are you to the Lord here tonight? So often we allow things to come into our lives where we start drifting from the Lord. And let me just point out here, the more we drift from the Lord, the less we're going to produce fruit. Verse 5, it says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth, notice the next level, much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. And let me just say this, there's times over the years that phrase has grabbed my attention, as I'm busy in the ministry, but I don't feel like I'm fruitful as far as my ministry is concerned. Sometimes we can have unfruitful busyness. There's times when we can get so busy that we're not producing spiritual fruit in our lives. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. If ye abide in me, notice the conditional word there, and my words abide in you. Notice the condition also there that God's words must abide in us. We must allow God's words to stay active in our lives. Ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Notice that fourth level again, much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Drop down to verse 16. It says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. Notice this is not Calvinism where God's arbitrarily choosing people for salvation. This is a choosing for ministry. I have ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. So again, those four levels. Again, the key to all of this is abiding in Christ and God's words abiding in us. Notice with me Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Again, these are familiar passages, but I want to pull them together as far as the emphasis on fruitfulness in our lives. Also, I want for us to keep in mind the three levels in particular, fruit, more fruit, much fruit. All right, so there's the key thought I want for us to keep in mind here tonight as we're inspecting our lives for fruit. It says Matthew 13, did you notice I said we're inspecting our own lives for fruit? So many times we are good at noticing fruit or lack thereof in other people's lives, but we don't see our own unfruitfulness. Notice it says in verse 1, it says, the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, all right, so shallow earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. Now, let me just point out here, we're learning this as far as our garden, in an area that used to be a parking lot, gravel parking lot. We had some quite the time digging out some carrots that started going down and worked their way past the gravel. Literally, these carrots are all twisted in their shape, literally because they're growing down and growing past all the gravel that's underneath, you know, on the lower levels underneath the dirt there. But again, you notice here shallow earth. Now, my dad figured out why we have a fruitful garden though. It's all this limestone gravel that we have here. So limestone is good fertilizer evidently. So verse 6, it says, when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, notice, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. The other fell into good ground and brought forth, notice, fruit, some an hundredfold, much fruit, some 60-fold, that'd be the more fruit, some 30-fold fruit. So again, we see these different levels that we saw in John 15. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Then drop down to verse 18 as we see the application of this. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth it. Notice initially, there's some excitement about the truth. Yet hath he not root in himself. There's no root. How long is a plant going to go if there's no deepness of root? Not for very long, but notice, dureth or endureth for a while, for a short time. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Well, I didn't know I was going to have to do that. I thought I was going to be happy here and now until I go to heaven. Notice again, the reality of these trials that come in, all of a sudden they're offended, they're gone. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. Notice the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and they become, notice, unfruitful. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, notice, and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. So we have fruit 30, we have more fruit 60, much fruit 100-fold. So again, we see here this same principle that Jesus teaches in John chapter 15. So what is the fruit? What are we talking about as far as being a fruitful Christian? Now, there are a lot of people who say, well, this obviously is winning souls. I want you to think about that, though. Is that the case? We're talking about an individual producing fruit. Is it soul winning, winning other people to Christ? First of all, the problem that I see with that is 1 Corinthians 3 and other places, God is the one who gives the increase. So we're seeing here something that I have no control over. I have control with presenting the gospel, watering it, and so on. I have absolutely no control over whether or not they respond to Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, was Noah fruitful in his life spiritually? I just read that today. He was the righteous man in his generation. Noah only reached his family, so was he unfruitful? The Bible calls him a preacher of righteousness. Again, was Noah fruitful? I believe the primary emphasis of fruit in Scripture is godly character and righteousness. In other words, Christ-like character. Here's an example, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. What are those attributes? What do, who are they describing? Jesus Christ in his character, his nature. So the fruit of the Spirit. So the fruit of the Spirit is produced in our lives when we yield to him. We'll talk about that in a moment here. Ephesians 5:9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And let me clarify with this. As far as talking to somebody about the gospel and so on, if I have a fruitful life in righteous character, that is going to back up the words that I say. So that's going to have an effect on our outreach. But Ephesians 5:9 talks about goodness, righteousness, and truth. Also, James 3:18, this phrase, notice, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Philippians 1:11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Did you hear that? Fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, notice the source of that, unto the glory and praise of God. 2 Corinthians 9:10, here's this phrase. Talking about increasing the fruits of your righteousness. We'll see this in a moment here, but Romans 6:22 talks about the fruit unto holiness. So that's why I say I believe Scripture is emphasizing that this fruit in our lives individually, is righteous character. So how is that fruit produced? As we've already seen, first and foremost is a close relationship with Christ. What was the word that Jesus uses in John chapter 15? Abide in me, right? And I in you. So we're talking about a close relationship that we maintain with the Lord. If that relationship is hindered in any way, guess what that does to our fruitfulness? We start withering up in our lives. That's very important for us to take notice of that. That is one of the important keys to fruitful living, is abiding in Christ. Second of all, as we've already seen indicated, yielding to the working and filling of the Holy Spirit. So close relationship with Christ. Also, we yield ourselves to the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Very important command that God has given to us in relation to the Holy Spirit. Be what? Filled with the Spirit. That's something that I have to do. I must yield myself to the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. That is a command. Also, in relation to the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, it tells us to walk in the Spirit, being led of the Spirit, and so on. So let me ask you tonight, how is your relationship with the Holy Spirit? The Bible even talks about, in Jude, praying in the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 6, in the context of the armor. The Bible also talks about praying in the Spirit. How is our relationship with the Holy Spirit? Another verse that just came to my mind that I hadn't thought about is 2 Corinthians 13, I think it's verse 14. It talks about the communion with the Holy Spirit, the communion of the Holy Ghost. How is your relationship with the Holy Spirit here tonight? Third, I want you to consider also. So our relationship with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Third, delighting in the Word of God. Notice Psalm 1. Psalm 1. Psalm 1. First of all, we notice here we need to have right influences in our lives. Who are we listening to? What kind of influences are coming in our lives? And let me just say it this way. If we don't have right influences in our lives, guess what's going to happen to our fruitfulness? We're going to start drying up and withering. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Notice the progression here. Walking, and then standing, and then sitting. Notice we're stopping. And let me just say it this way. It's been a while since I've said this. You know, of course, Rush Limbaugh's not giving counsel on the air anymore. But I wonder how many people actually listened to him thinking that he was a righteous person to listen to as he used profanity and all that. It doesn't matter. It's not just Rush Limbaugh. You think about this. We have filled our minds with counsel from the ungodly. Righteousness is not the same as conservatism. I've talked about that before. Righteousness, not conservatism, exalts a nation. I think we've replaced righteousness with that. But here again, let me ask you, who is influencing your life? What influences do you have in your life? Again, I've talked about this before as an illustration. That's why I did not allow our sons to have posters of pro athletes on their wall. I didn't care if they had a favorite team. But I told my sons as they were growing up, I said, you don't know what that person's really like. Was it Brett Farr? Later in his career. Moral failure. I mean, you think about this. You don't know what their character's like. So if I allowed them to set up an ungodly example and influence in their lives, so I want them to follow those ungodly influences? Here's the point. Notice the influences in our lives will affect our fruitfulness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the three character traits here, ungodly, sinners, and the scornful. Beware, be careful of the influences that you allow into your life. Parents, we need to make sure we guard our children, our young people, with some of these influences. Make sure that there's a godly influence in their lives. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Notice the delight is in God's law. Another phrase for God's word. In his law, notice the key there, he meditates day and night. Constantly, not just memorizing scripture. Meditation and memorization are similar, but they're not the same. Meditation actually gets to the subconscious mind. Can I point out something? Here's why a lot of people struggle with spiritual things in their lives. Okay, they have all these cards that they're memorizing, verses. But if they're not meditating on it, how they're going to put it to practice in their lives, then they're not getting it into the subconscious mind. They're not reprogramming the mind with God's word. Meditating day and night. Constantly thinking about how God's word applies to our lives. Joshua, that's what Joshua 1:8 says. Observe to do whatsoever God's law tells us to do. Verse 3, notice the fruitfulness here. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit, personal fruit, in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You notice it's your fruit, not mine. I'm the only one responsible for my life in fruitfulness. You are responsible for your own life. I'm sorry, I cannot produce fruit for you. You have to get in this book yourself in order to have a fruitful Christian life. Delighting in the Word of God. Meditation, again, it's very key there. Colossians chapter 1. Another statement here as far as the Word of God. Colossians chapter 1. I think sometimes we get confused as far as the gospel, what is all included in the gospel. I believe the gospel is the good news, not just of salvation, but sanctification, living the Christian life, and so on. Notice it says here in Colossians chapter 1, verse 5, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Notice that statement there. The word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and notice, bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. Drop down to verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Notice this statement then. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Notice the key here is the Word of God. The Word of God. If the Word of God is not an active part of our lives, we are not going to be fruitful, especially with much fruit. Also, we must remain free from sin. Notice Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. This is a chapter on sanctification after God has laid the foundation through the inspiration of the Scriptures through the Apostle Paul. The first four chapters deal with faith and righteousness and so on as far as salvation is concerned. Then he starts dealing with sanctification, the sanctified Christian life. Notice that at the end of chapter 6, now we always can quote verse 23, and let me just point out here, this is actually written to Christians and not unbelievers. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's in a context, chapter 6 and chapter 7, on sanctification. I think that's very significant. I'm not saying you can't use the truth of that for an unbeliever, but the context is talking to believers here. Verse 21, what fruit had ye then, so we have fruit of this, of the world, and we have fruit unto God. Verse 21, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. I said, some of you maybe especially that are saved and were saved in later in life, you have things you're ashamed of now. You have things you don't want to remember of your life before Christ. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, notice you have your fruit unto what? Holiness and the end, everlasting life. Fruitfulness. If we're living in sin, there is absolutely no way we're going to be fruitful to the glory of God. Absolutely no way. That's why in this context, he's talking about this in this sanctified Christian living. Hebrews chapter 12, we must also yield to the chastening work of the Holy of God, chastening work of God. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. There's a phrase in relation to fruitfulness I want you to take notice of in this passage here. Hebrews 12 and verse 5. Ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Notice there's chastening, this correction of the Lord. This rebuke here, I believe, is a scolding. You know, that's the convicting work of the Holy Spirit from the Word of God. All right, rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And notice this next level here, scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If he endure chastening, right, so there's the key, enduring it. So that's just not worth it. It's not worth living the Christian life. Notice we endure God's correction in our lives. God dealeth with you as with sons, as a child. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? Let me just point out here, Proverbs says, parental neglect equals hatred for a child. Spare the rod, spoil the child. I mean, that's the way it's said, summarized. The reality is, if a parent does not correct their child properly, understand that, but if there's no correction, then the Bible says they actually have hatred for their child. I don't care if you wreck and ruin your life. Go ahead. Just go ahead. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, if you're a child of God, you're going to deal with correction when you're not living the way you should. Notice, if we do not receive chastisement, notice, then ye are bastards and not sons. Now let me just say this. That's in the Bible. There are people in our day who take the words of God's word and pervert them. This is not something you use in a derogatory way as you're calling somebody the B word. Notice here, this is talking about somebody who does not have a saving relationship with God. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, human fathers, which corrected us. And we gave them reverence. A young child will cry, and a teenager, by the way, you need to correct before the teen years because that's when they will resent it and become rebellious. Notice there's a relationship that's established here. We gave them reverence. As I got older, I realized my dad knew more than I thought. So, reverence. That's the Bible word. Young people, if you do not respect your parents when they correct you, watch out, you're headed for trouble. That's the reality of it. Do you give them reverence? That's the Bible word, reverence. You know, the loving father says, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. I didn't believe that, but when it came to me spanking my own sons, I hated doing that. Let alone being a school administrator with a paddle. I did not like spanking my own children. I mean, there were times when I'm thinking, why am I doing this? I need to call the dad in to do this. Reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days, just a shorter part of our lives. If you're starting to spank a 25-year-old, there's a problem. You have to still spank a 13-year-old, there's still a problem in my opinion, but notice, for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, how they thought would be best. But he for our profit, God always does this for our good, that we might be partakers, notice this, of his holiness. No chastening, now no chastening, for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, after the correction, notice, after the chastisement, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness in them which are exercised thereby. How much were you exercised by your parents? Notice that that's the Bible word. This is an exercise. You know, it's a discipline. Notice again this fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. The peaceable fruit of righteousness, righteous character. Also patience. Notice James chapter 5. James chapter 5. I just can't seem to get it. Patiently endure. Keep working at it. Keep working at it. We'll lead us to our next point here in a moment. James 5 verse 7. Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. The precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he received the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Patience. Patient endurance. Also 2 Peter chapter 1 talks about diligence. Do you realize it's going to take work? It's going to take work. Oh, we don't like work. 2 Peter 1 verse 5, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Notice these character traits. Virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, temperance. To temperance, patience. To patience, godliness, godlike character. To godliness, brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, charity. If these things be in you and abound, notice, they make you that ye shall neither be barren without fruit, nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to take diligence. It's going to take work. Very interesting verse. Hosea 10:12 says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Here's the phrase, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Did a study of that phrase, break up your fallow ground. There's a couple of different places in the Old Testament. What is fallow? What does fallow mean? It means untilled, unsown, uncultivated, unplowed. It's interesting using my gift from Sunday, Lord's Day. Webster's 1828 dictionary, it's on my desk. I decided to look up fallow. Our English word may come from a Latin root word that means to fail. What are we talking about here? Crop failure. Do you realize that if a farmer does not go out and till up his ground before he sows the seed, he's going to have crop failure? The farmer does not go out and do nothing to the sowing, just takes his seed out and just kind of scatters them everywhere, hopes he gets some corn, hopes he gets some oats and so on. No, he has to prepare the soil. He has to plow and so on. Can you imagine in Bible times breaking up the fallow ground? They didn't get in their big tractors and get their wide discs and plows and all that kind of stuff to take them out to the field. They literally had to work and labor to be able to get the ground ready. We need to prepare the ground as well. And let me just point out here, Matthew 7, remember it talks about the fact that by their fruits ye shall know them. Talking about recognizing a false teacher. Let me ask you, if somebody were to inspect your fruit, what would they see? If somebody were to inspect your fruit, what would they see? See, fruit reveals who we are. It must be Matthew 21. Matthew 21. I want to point out another aspect of fruitfulness here, just as we tie all this together. Matthew 21, verse 17. Was that an amen that I'm almost done? Matthew 21, verse 17. And he left them and went out of the city unto Bethany, and he lodged there. Now in the morning as he returned into the city, Matthew 21 verse 18, notice he hungered, talking about Jesus. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only. And said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently it says the fig tree withered away. Now this is a picture of unbelieving Israel. But I want you to consider the illustration of this. Jesus walks up to this tree expecting some fruit. Why? Because he's hungry. Finding no fruit, he curses the tree, and literally it starts withering up right away, so that the disciples marvel, saying, how soon the fig tree is withered away. I want you to notice the picture here of leaves only with no fruit. So many times people have an appearance of the Christian life, but there's no fruitfulness there. We look good, but there's no fruit. Let me just point out here, fruit is a benefit to others. That's what Luke 13 talks about. As we close, notice Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Fruitfulness is not for appearances, it is for a benefit of others. Fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, is not a display. I've seen churches have displays of so-called fruit of the Spirit. They have bananas, apples, and all that kind of stuff. Sorry, but the fruit is all the same. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit, not fruits. It's not plural in Galatians chapter 5. But as we close here, notice Luke chapter 6, verse 43. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. So we have two types of trees that are presented here again. For every tree, notice this statement, every tree is known by his what? Own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth fruit, that which is good. An evil man, again the contrast here, an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Again, you notice that phrase in verse 44. I'm going to finish up with this. Every tree is known by his own fruit. So, as somebody looks at the fruit in our lives, first of all, is there fruit to see? Leaves only. Oh, we have the appearance. I'm a good Baptist. I dress the part. Are we looking good with no fruit? Is there any righteous character in our lives that produces and is beneficial to others? But again, that statement, everyone is known by his own fruit. Nobody can compare fruit with me. No, I can't compare my fruit with you. Everyone is known by his own fruit. So let me ask you, what fruit are people seeing in our lives? And again, the righteous character, the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you'd help us to examine our own hearts here, our own fruitfulness or lack thereof here this evening. Lord, it's my desire that we will continue to increase in our fruitfulness in our spiritual lives. Lord, unless we have a close relationship with Jesus Christ and your word, it's not possible. Unless the Holy Spirit has freedom to work in our lives, it's not possible to produce much fruit. Oh, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to fertilize, to water, all of these things with your word, the pictures that your word gives. Help us to inspect our own fruit tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.